Season Countdown continues our one-on-one chat with the coaches, and this year Rowan McSparran finds himself making the trek on a very regular basis down the Prince's Highway to Colac, where he's linked up with Kane Learson as co-coach of the Tigers. Had a successful stint in charge of Geelong Amateur in the Ballarine, but is now challenging himself at the GFL. He's been good enough to join us in the Carrick Studios. Rory, good to speak to you once again.
Thanks, Kingy. Glad to be.
You change leagues, but you can't shake me.
That's right. We tried.
We tried very hard. You'll have to find one out of the district. Congratulations on your appointment. Talk to us about the process you went through to take on the role alongside Kane down at Tigerland.
Yeah, I got a phone call from Kane probably halfway through last year, just kind of feeling me out to see what my plans were for next year, obviously hearing that maybe it was my last year down at Ammo. So we just caught up a couple of times, had a couple of coffees and just worked through it from there.
Yep. Did the challenge excite you?
Yeah, absolutely. They've got a young playing list, pretty exciting group of players. They played in the 19s and the 12 o'clock boys, both played in the grand final last year. So that's exciting for me to try and get my hands on some talented young players.
Yep. Has it changed your coaching in a way? Is there a difference between coaching a BFL club to a GFL club?
Oh, not really. I don't think so. I think the processes are just the same. There's probably a little bit more depth in talent, but other than that, I think the process is pretty much stay the same.
Right. Still living in Geelong, but making the three-time weekly trek down the highway. Hopefully, they'll eventually get it duplicated between Winch and Colac during your tenure in charge. It's all right over summer, but middle of winter, how are you going to, I suppose, relieve the boredom of that ride?
Ah, that's all right. Just put the earphones in, a couple of podcasts, and make some calls and listen to some music, so it goes past pretty quick.
As always, Colac flies under the radar with the Geelong media. We don't hear a lot. It's only what we might read in the Colac Herald or hear from the radio stations down there, but player movement has been minimal. We talk about being quiet, but it's been quiet for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we've got three kids that have come in from the district, maybe four, that are going to try their hand at GFL. Two of them are returning Colac players, so... And other than that, I think we've only got a couple that have gone out. So the list has stayed, you know, 95-98% the same, which is exciting.
Okay, so Parker from Birragara, McGuan from Alvey are the two that are coming back to the club, is that right?
That's right, yep.
And Dustin Walters comes in from Alvey. Can you tell us a little bit about him? I think the club's excited about what he can
bring. So young Dustin's played the last 2 years in interleague, and I think he's only just turned 20 maybe. So he's originally from Apollo Bay, so an ex-Bay junior. He's had a really good start to his senior footy career, and he's just looking to challenge himself at the higher level.
Yep. In terms of losses, Sam McLaughlin, probably the only big one. Michael Bolitho played some senior footy last year. He's gone back to Bury, but other than that, Sam's probably your key departure.
Yeah, for sure. He's a talented player that's gone back home, down to North Warrnambool, sorry, and played a fair bit of VFL footy. So to lose him's a bit of a shame, but he wanted to go back with a few mates and try his hand down there. So we give him our blessing, and hopefully he's back in 12 months' time.
Talking about VFL, you've had a few boys training with the VFL, the Floyd brothers, Adam Garner, Zach Seibel. Obviously, so they're going to get their opportunities at VFL level, but if they don't, what they've done over the last couple of years in terms of training, that ensures that they're going to play some good GFL footy.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to be right up to speed, especially with their fitness base with the VFL pre-season. And we've got a young fellow, Cooper Stevens, up at Williamstown as well. So he's had a really good start to his VFL career last year. I think he played 6 or 7 games up there. So hopefully we don't see him, but we'll be happy if we see any of those boys in the Colac jumper.
Yeah, I was going to say, Campbell Floyd's one that you probably don't, when you're throwing the magnets around, you probably have the magnet sitting to the side and go, well, if we happen to see him, obviously either Geelong are very, very strong in terms of what they're running out with, or he's coming back from injury or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's a week-to-week proposition for all GFL coaches that have players listed at VFL, that you don't know from Tuesday night to Thursday night who you have, or, you know, if they drop a couple out of the AFL system, well, the VFL boys get called up. So you might lose 2 or 3 players on any given Thursday.
Yeah, it becomes probably the slight difference between coaching GFL and Ballarine, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And I think when these kind of boys get an opportunity at VFL, they get pushed pretty heavily to go align themselves with the GFL club, so the standard of the footy is probably a little bit better.
12 wins, 6 losses, but a disappointing finish to last year. I think you were in the crowd for the elimination final, having an idea that you were going to... Actually, were you in the crowd?
No, we were playing.
MOs are still playing.
Yep.
But still, obviously, something to build on for the club? I know better finish in 2017, but this is a group of kids is going to come through together and hopefully go forward together.
Yeah, that's a plan, mate, that the kids stick around. And obviously so far we've been able to retain most of the list. So hopefully we get that development with those younger boys coming through that they can take the next step and start winning some good finals again out on Cadenia Park.
Yeah. Did you get to watch Colac at all last year?
Yeah, so I've seen the second half of the Joey's game at Joey's, and I've seen the second half of the Leopold game at Leopold after our I think they played on the Saturday and we were on the Sunday, the so final, I got to see. Yeah. Yep.
And do you, I suppose, form, not an opinion, but do you get a bit of a guide of where things are at, and were you able to relay some feedback back to Kane in terms of what you saw, and then I suppose was that then rolled into what you've done through pre-season?
Yeah, to a certain degree. I tried to stay as far removed as I could, even when I went down and watched the two sides play through the final series in the reserves and the 19s, that I still tried to stay removed, even though I was still at the huddles and in the rooms and things like that. I still tried to keep myself removed and not have too much of an opinion.
Yeah, what's been the focus of pre-season? There is something that you're hoping to do better than last year?
I think our fitness base was probably one of the main areas, and that was across the board. I think that was pretty evident with not only the playing group but probably other teams within the competition, that they're probably just off the pace a little bit with their fitness, but at this stage the boys are looking pretty good.
I suppose with a venue like Central Reserve, probably the biggest ground in the competition outside of St Albans, you've got that ability, I suppose, to work the boys pretty hard.
Yeah, that's right, and we've got a good fitness bloke down there that put the boys through the paces, so it just allows myself and Kane to concentrate on the football side of the training, and he goes and takes the boys through the running side, which makes it a lot easier.
Is Lockie Veal the eighth wonder of the world?
He's good, Veal. He's moving really well, really well. He's looking fit, and he's great to still have running around for us, that's for sure.
You've played against him. Are you amazed he's still going? Or do you liken him, you played with Zane Vale, do you liken him to Zane Vale, that they just seem to keep finding a way?
That's a perfect analogy. Zane and Veal cut from the same cloth, I think. They're both pretty aggressive big men, which you like your ruckman to be, and they like throwing their weight around, and playing with Zane was fantastic, so I can only imagine what the boys feel like when they play with Veal.
Yep. Degana and Zybel then become the heir apparent in a way to Veal, because he's not going to, as much as Lockie would probably like to, he's not going to go on forever.
Yeah, Adam Garner's older brother, Matt, he's a real talented ruckman that probably hasn't had the opportunities with Veal being there, so we're going to look to really try and progress him this year and really teach him his ruck craft and learn a bit off Veal. But
he played in the twos grand final.
He did, and some of the things he was doing was really impressive. So we're going to look to really give him some game time and try and develop. But Adam will play as a key post. Zach can play in the ruck, but he's probably more suited to play forward as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the VFL use those two big boys during the year. Anybody stepped out of the pack that maybe might have come into pre-season and Kane might have said, oh, this bloke just a little bit off the pace, or he's a good twos player but needs to do a bit more? Anybody's put their hand up?
Kane's been pretty good like that. He hasn't cast any dispersions on any of the players, and he's let me make my own mind up and read the boys how they move and play. But the two boys you mentioned earlier, in Parker and Liam McGuan, they've been back and played district for the last couple of years, and they've come in and they're right in our top 3 to 5 in every running that we do. So for them to come back with that kind of intensity has been pretty impressive.
Yep. Anybody that maybe at the start of pre-season was a bit off the pace that was already at the club that you've seen grow over the pre-season?
Oh, there's a few boys who are probably off the pace a little bit, but they've just worked into it, whether it was work or time commitments that were just keeping them away early in the pre-season, that after Christmas, post-Christmas, they've been really good. So I think that was more just an attendance more than a lack of effort from the year prior.
Yep. As we record this, when people listen to this, you will have already played ball in a practice match at Central Reserve. Strong Eastern Footy League team, probably a similar standard to GFL. It's good to get those sorts of hit-outs.
Yeah, absolutely. And to get a really good quality team like Baldwin, and obviously Rodney Eade's coaching them now, so they're going to be pretty well drilled. To get them first up is going to give us a fair indication of where we're sitting. So whether we need to tweak a couple of things after this practice game and how we adapt to the new rules as well, it's going to be interesting to see.
Cobden to follow from the Hampden League, who are always competitive there. And then Barwon Heads, as you well know, have been fairly strong in the Bellarine for the last few years. Sort of deliberately go out and target what you wanted in terms of practice matches and what you could get out of them?
Yeah, absolutely. And Barwon Heads, I'm pretty sure Barwon Heads took it right up. It might have even beaten Colac last year from all reports. So, and they get Mitch on board. Troy Mitchell's down there coaching now, and the recruits that they've brought through the door, they're going to be pretty solid again. So to get three really good opponents is going to hold us in good stead for round one.
Yeah, absolutely. First month's interesting. Leopold, St Albans, Bell Park, St Mary's. You're looking forward to coaching against Bell Park, your old club?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I've already had a few messages saying that it's Colac home game, so I've got to buy the beers. So, no, it'll be good to catch up with a few of the old boys that I've played with and had an association with at Bell Park.
That first month is, as I said, it's a bit of a mixture, isn't it? It's probably three serious challenges there. We don't know where St Albans are going to be at, but... St Albans is never easy.
Yeah, exactly right. Another big ground too, and they have flown under the radar too. I know they lost their coach pretty early and they've had to replace that. So going forward, you don't know what they've walked through the door. They've been pretty quiet on the recruiting front, but you never know. So it's going to be a good challenge that first month.
Do you see the competition as being very even, that there's seven or eight sides that are challenging for five final spots?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that... That was a point last year too. I think it ran pretty deep and Newtown come hard late and just missed out. But I think that's going to be the case again this year. I think there's going to be quite a few teams that are going to be stiff if they miss out.
Yep. On a personal note, I think 4 years in charge at Amos. How did your coaching evolve? I know you started as a playing coach and finished non-playing, but what did you, I suppose, learn about yourself as a coach over that journey, and how were you better at the end than you were at the start?
I think the transition from being a playing coach to a non-playing coach, not that it come as any surprise because I knew I wasn't playing anymore, but not being able to have the impact on the ground and use my voice on the ground was probably the biggest challenge, and trying to communicate my message early so the boys knew what was expected of them instead of trying to communicate on the ground and dictate where the boys had to be.
Yep. Kane took on a lot with the last couple of years going alone as a playing coach. It's very tough, I suspect, now in the GFL to be a playing coach. Has he spoken to you about how it's freed him up a little bit with you coming in?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the plan all along, that I'd come in and take majority of the training, and Kane would look at trying to get his body right because he's had a few injuries over the last 2 to 3 years that have hampered him a little bit. So that's just allowed him to get back on the training track. And as a playing coach, it's quite hard sometimes to put the work in that you need to stay at a good fitness base. So that's just... allow Kane to get back out on the track and put the work in with all the boys.
How is he tracking in terms of his body?
Really good, actually. He's moving well. Yeah, he probably come back. He had a trip overseas with work early on in the pre-season. Then he's come back after that and he's put a few extra sessions in, and he's moving really well.
Yep. Really well. Anybody that'll make a delayed start to the year, you've got any injury issues?
Tom Simpkin will be probably the only one that has had a delayed start. Whether we put him in, you know, after the first bye, or whether we put him in after Easter, we'll just have to wait and see. It'll just be a week-to-week thing, but he's back into running.
That was a knee, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Suffered. He did that round two last year.
And Joffy was hurt at one stage last year too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he might have pulled up a bit sore in a few games, but he's been training pretty well too, so it's pleasing.
Looking forward. I suppose in those two, especially Tom when he gets back, just that ability, I suppose, to get it back into the group. It's almost like a recruit, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When he plays one and a half games last year and they're banking on him holding up a key post down back for him to come back into the side, and even if we get 14 games, 12 games out of him this year, it's going to be a hell of a lot better than one and a half.
Yep. Kicking goals this year, where do you hope to get the majority of your goals from?
Oh, I think we can spread this year. Yeah, I don't think we're going to rely on Jake McGuan to kick 80 goals for the year and that's going to be our main focus, or Hillman to kick 65 and then that's us done. I think we're going to be able to spread the wealth of goals, and hopefully we can get some midfielders kicking goals as well.
Absolutely. Ro, really appreciate your time. Loved dealing with you when you were at Geelong Amateur, and looking forward to continuing that as you take on the reins down at Colac. 2-year deal to start off with?
No, we just play it a year at a time and see how it goes. So I'm pretty flexible with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but looking forward to the challenge.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. Ro, thanks for joining us.
No worries, King.
Ro McSparran there, co-coach of the Colac Tigers. And, of course, if you're a Tigers fan and you think they're going to go right in season 2019, get involved in K-Rock football tipping. Thanks to Momentum Energy. We've got $5,000 up for grabs. We're giving $1,000 to our leading AFL tipper and $1,000 to our leading BFL and GFL tipper, as well as if you nominate your club in the BFL and the GFL, your club will get $1,000 as well. So $5,000 up for grabs. Thanks to Momentum Energy and K-Rock Footy Tipping. Head to krockfootball.com.au and hit the tipping tab on the homepage. This has been the Season Countdown. We've been talking with Colac co-coach Ro McSparran. Next in our series, going to catch up with Corio coach Darren Bennett.